What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay Clone, 28. And it feels good to be back.
Does it?
Yeah, on Cryptids of the Corn Podcast.
Does it?
Oh, it feels great to be back.
Didn't record last week.
No, we didn't.
Van blew up. Bought a truck.
Yes, those things happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that, though.
Hmm.
They don't know we didn't record.
Oh, yeah. They have no idea. Yeah. But anything new with you?
I don't know. Is there? You kind of asked me too fast. I don't think so.
So we went to the, the Spirit of the Forest Bigfoot Festival in Salina, Ohio.
Okay. How'd that go?
It was nice. Nice little festival.
Okay.
If you're in the area, I'd advise you going. I don't know if I'd drive a long distance for it, but.
You're in the Salina, Northwest Ohio area.
Yeah. It's
Great Lakes, St. Mary's area.
Mm-hmm.
Go check her out.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you see the big Bigfoot sculpture thing?
Yeah, we got pictures with it with the kids.
Nice, okay.
It used to have a fishing pole and it doesn't anymore, so I don't know what happened.
Hmm. The one, like, I thought it was like laying down, right?
It's lounging. He's lounging.
Had it a fishing pole?
Yeah, fishing pole and a bobber, but now it's just he's just holding a tractor.
Maybe they moved it.
I think somebody broke it.
Maybe it went to a different location. They wanted it somewhere else.
The fishing pole?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think somebody broke it because now you can't get up to it.
Oh, well, that's sad. People always ruin things.
But met a listener, and she recognized me and came up and it was like, hey, are you Justin? Yeah. It's Tia.
Oh.
So I said I'd give her a shout out. She was very nice. We got pictures.
Well, good.
Yeah. But yep, so Tia, thank you.
Thanks for listening, Tia. This is your shout out.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there to meet you, but at least you got to meet half the crew or 2/3 of it.
Oh, Emily. I was like, I thought you were making a fat joke towards me.
Oh, no. No, not really, but that's funny.
Like, well, that's, thank you, I guess. Now, so what are we going to talk about today?
I don't know. You're the one that is supposed to tell me.
Oh. We're going to just talk about some more living UFO sightings.
Uh-oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, so I figured Lon Strickler, the first three articles we're going to read today come from him. With Phantom and Monsters, which they just got a new website. It looks amazing.
Mm.
So check it out.
What's that? What's the website?
Phantomsandmonsters.com?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's .com, yeah.
Yeah.
If you type either Lon Strickler or Phantoms and Monsters, it'll pop up either way.
Yeah, just Google it.
Yeah, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of eyewitness encounters, plus his own articles he writes and stuff like that. But I think the first three I got are from him, and then we get into some from some of the UFO websites, which I'll name when we get there. I don't think I've read any of these before. I went through, and there's a lot of them, so it helps. But I don't think I've read these before.
It's a blessing and a curse, mm-hmm. The amount.
First one, unless you have anything to say.
I guess before we jump into it, thoughts on, we haven't had a good UFO, organic UFO discussion topic yet. Be sure if you're unaware of the, subject matter, you can get all your basic info and introduction knowledge through Mr. E's book, which you can find in the link below.
Oh, yeah.
The book is titled, I always say it wrong. I was going to have you say it.
Living UFOs, The Ocean Above Our Heads.
Yeah, The Ocean Above Our Heads. Authored by Justin England, a.k.a. Mr. E. So check the links below if you haven't read the book yet. And this subject is intriguing to you if you're new to our show. Yeah, in the description of the episode.
It's got five-star reviews and one-star review.
Ah, see? So everything in between. So give it a review, preferably a five-star. Help the book grow. Help it spread. Get this information and knowledge out there. That's what we're all about, getting the info out. All right. Now let's get into it.
So the first one is coming from, it's called Flying Manta Ray Shaped Cryptid Observed Near Knoxville, Tennessee.
All right.
That flew right over Tony's studio.
Probably.
I mean, that end of Knoxville.
It's probably going to that pizza place.
No, Legends and Lore Pizza.
Yeah.
Check it out. Our sign's hanging up in it.
It's good.
A father and son are outside of their working on their car at night when they observe several flying manta ray shaped beings high in the sky, slowly flapping their quote-unquote wings as if they were in water. So this is the actual, what he wrote in. This was in the year of 2015. It was Sunday night around 11:40 p.m. My dad and I were just finishing working on the family car, so things were going smoothly Monday. Did a double check on everything. It was fine and running great. I go outside just to see the night sky and admire the moon, because why not? We live in Tennessee, out just outside of Knoxville. I lean on the car and look straight up. At first, I saw something strange. The creature is very high in the sky. I can tell since it around the distance of the airplanes I see flying. It was very high up, and it looked like an extremely massive manta ray shaped thing, slowly flapping its wings like it was in the water. It was extremely graceful, I might add. Then I realized there was actually a large group of them and behind it, about 20 more of them.
Wow.
I quickly called my dad, my mom, and my sister. I told them to look at the sky, and they were just telling me I was crazy or playing around. To their surprise, though, they all saw the creatures. They looked like manta rays flying in the night sky.
Hmm.
We stared at them for a good 3 minutes until they were just flew higher and higher and disappearing into the night sky. It was a strange experience we all shared with my family. We were just talking excitedly since it was my parents' first strange encounter they've ever had in their life. My sister and I had a couple paranormal experiences when we were kids, so this is what we'd say our second. But yeah, we all talked about it in the dinner, just seeing really a lot of mysterious things in the world. Apparently, these creatures are called cryptids. I just wanted to share my experience here from R.
Wow. That's pretty wild. Now, that's the first time I think we've heard the multiple of the big ones.
Nope.
It's not the first time?
Nope.
That's 20 of them?
I don't know about 20, but you remember the Hampton Bay manta ray encounter?
Hampton Bay, where is that?
That was with the glowing shrimp And there were four or five giant ones on and then the a beach. Bunch of the little ones.
Yeah, they were coming down, yeah.
And I remember the fog bank was so thick, they thought there was more.
Oh, gotcha.
But they just remember seeing the one the size of a Boeing.
I remember seeing the swarms of little ones. I remember talking about them a lot.
The Hampton Bay one is one I can think of where there was a bunch of them the car sized.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say the giant, they're behind the giant one. It way I read it, I think they're smaller. They're not small.
In this story.
I think they're smaller.
Oh, okay. I just assumed they were all the same.
Let me look at that part again just to make sure.
I guess in my head, three paragraphs.
So.
Yeah. In my head, I was just picturing the one big one and then they all being of similar size, kind of following along. So maybe that is. If that is, I mean, that's the first time I can think of where specifically these massive ones. Because, yeah, like we've talked about, and like you broke down in the book, they come in this shape, comes in multiple sizes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the manta rays can be anything from, that picture of one is like the size of a bird. This behemoth. So they're saying it's at the, so it's really hard to judge size and altitude.
Yep.
So these things are either a lot closer or they're really big.
Or they're really, really big, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think it could be either.
Because, I mean, a Boeing up in the sky is like a dot.
131 feet, I believe.
What, long?
Long.
Man, it even seems like it should be bigger. I don't know. But I mean,
keep in mind, a semi-trailer is 52 feet.
Yeah.
So it's over, it's about two and a quarter.
Yeah.
Semi-trailers.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's big, though. Mm-hmm. But look up in the sky, it's just a little blip.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's 11,000 feet or whatever it is.
Exactly.
But yeah, a whole bunch of them, and they're all going the same way, following it seems to be this big one.
Mm.
Which manta rays travel that way, geese and everything else, flapping really slowly, but they seem to be going up higher and higher. So like we talk about with, you know, these kind of things, I wonder if they're returning as a group to the upper atmosphere.
Right, maybe that's on the foothills of the Appalachia, right?
Yeah, it would be.
Or maybe they're using that as their upwell to get back in the upper atmosphere.
It could be. And then we've also had some stories of them.
You dying? Excuse me, sorry.
Next time, give me a sign or something.
Jeez. Yeah, it snuck up on me.
We've also talked about them breeding in Tennessee. Because that was when the one that was dragging its ovipositor thing and several other times. I wonder if this is a group that just got finished breeding and they're heading back up, laying eggs and going on.
Mm, could be something like that, yeah.
Invertebrates, which these are just massive, massive invertebrates. They'd be the biggest documented invertebrates ever. By volume, not by mass, probably.
What would be bigger?
Probably some of the ocean jellyfish by mass or squid.
Oh, okay.
By weight, by mass.
Right.
Because they're dense.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, they're pretty much hollow in my thoughts.
They have to be if they're flying, quote unquote, flying.
So I think they have a lot of volume. I don't think they have a lot of mass.
Gotcha. Like a hot air balloon.
Yeah, essentially. That they're the skin and their organs with a gas-filled chamber. So it really does seem like migrating. I mean, it looks, the way that he describes it, it just sounds like a big school of manta rays heading somewhere.
Yeah. I wonder too, like, especially if they were all like in line following, you know what I mean?
I don't get that from that. I just, that he just realized there's a whole big group of them behind him.
Yeah.
Then I realized there was a large group of them from behind it, about 20 or so.
Yeah. So yeah, I wonder, I don't know. Cause I remember when I seen that UFO thing, what was it, a couple years ago, when I was standing outside the bowling alley, I was threw the trash in the dumpster and I took my cardboard to my burn pile and I like to burn it and just, that's my break for the night. And I was out there with Shannon watching the fire burn and looked up in the sky and we seen on the north sky those lights basically flying across the sky, but they were all evenly spaced apart and they were just heading across the sky, and as one would disappear on the far end, more would reappear on the other end where they were coming from. And I just wondered if it was things flying in formation, like flying in a direct pattern. I don't know. Maybe just a light is catching them in a certain area. So it looks like they're showing up and then disappearing really fast. I don't know. I can't explain it still. Mm. But that's just, if they were flying in formation, that would be kind of interesting.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Another Phantom of the Monsters one. It's titled Glowing White Manta Ray UAP near Colock, Washington. A woman and her mother were traveling on Highway 101 near Colock, Washington, when they observed a 4-foot-long glowing white manta ray-shaped UAP with a long ribbon-like tail. The reports as follows. This happened back in the summer of 2017, just south of Colock, Washington, on the Olympic Peninsula on Highway 101. Me and my mother were heading home from checking out the beaches that were a bit north of Colock. We'd been there all day, and it was our first time seeing an actual beach in Washington State. Anyways, it was nearing dusk, but we decided to move on and started heading back up to Puyallup. Now, if anyone's ever been to Washington, let alone any forest in the state, one would be that the forests get darker, and they can certainly remove any light in a matter of minutes. I was driving, and she was in the passenger seat. She was wide awake. It was around 8 p.m. that night. Barely any traffic on the road in the area. While I was driving, coming from the left of my point of view in the sky, maybe about, I'd say, anywhere from 6 to 8 feet in front of me, but in the sky, it had to be close because it could make out every detail of it pretty well. There was this flying object I'd never seen before. Firstly, it flew effortlessly, like it was a serene flow to it. Almost like the way water is moving in a bamboo water fountain. But it was moving up and down just slightly while flying to the right of my point of view. A weird part is that since it was a nightmare already, this object was glittery white glow to it, and the dark background in the sky added the emphasis to that. It was about 4 feet in length, and the body of the object was built just like a manta ray, but small to medium-sized manta ray. And the tail of it was wavy like a ribbon with circular shapes on the end. While this thing was flying, I heard no noise at it at all. I know I couldn't have been an owl because of the weird tail. I passed it and looked out my rearview mirror and still could see the object flying. Still to this day, I have no clue what this thing was. Also, while this thing flew, I could see that it had a purpose. Then the eyewitness has confirmed that she saw exactly what I saw, which is his mom, or her mom, wasn't scared at all, but she didn't want to see it again.
Hmm. Did they see a real-life Pokemon?
It just sounds like a baby manta ray.
Yeah. No, interesting. I also thought of the thing, remember on Rick and Morty, when they go to that planet and they get that, like, gaseous creature?
Mm-hmm.
From, but it was, like, really all-knowing or whatever?
Yeah, it was, a fifth-dimensional creature.
Yeah.
Could poop gold.
I don't know why that popped in my head though, but
it didn't have a membrane or anything to it.
It didn't?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Just had balls in it.
Yeah. I was thinking something like that would be the glowing, the sparkly, the reflective.
Oh, I just think it was bioluminescent.
Could be that, yeah.
And they were just having the organs are firing up and they look like glitter.
Yeah.
There's plenty of bioluminescence that looks like glitter.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Oh yeah. Like the shrimp blooms.
I mean, yeah, they look like all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about this a lot, that the West Coast seems to have little ones, and the further east you go, the bigger they get. So we've talked about that maybe they're breeding on the West Coast or using it as a nursery all the way down through South America on the West Coast.
And migrating
slowly east until they can get up and meet up with the big ones.
Mm.
But this is almost exactly what that picture was we talked about a couple years ago, where the lady said the Native American lady claimed she took a picture of a spirit, or whatever she said it was. But it looks just like a transparent manta ray with a long swirly tail.
Hmm. And what if that's just what it is?
What?
A manta ray with this long swirly
tail.
That's
right. That's what I'm saying. Is it?
Yeah.
That it's just they're rare, obviously.
Right,
they're there.
Yeah. Hmm. No, this is pretty. I wish one day I will see one, something like that, something of the sort. I'm hoping to, anyways. But like you said, they don't want to see it again.
She said she wasn't scared, but she doesn't want to see it again.
Yeah. Hmm. That'd be wild. No, I'd want to see it every day if I could.
These guys, I don't think they're going to hurt you.
I don't think. I mean, I don't know. The movie Nope.
They may burn you if you touch them.
Yeah, like with acid or something?
Or stingers or whatever.
Stingers, yeah.
Defensive, They don't really control that.
Hmm.
One more from Lon. Tentacled translucent sky jellyfish observed over New York City's East Village.
Ooh, so this one's going to be a little different. Not the manta ray shape.
Not manta ray. I got some jellies, some manta rays, and some others. The East Village, New York City resident, recounts his observation of the tentacled sky jellyfish. Him and his friends watch from a department balcony. Story goes, in September of 2017, I was staying at a friend's place in the East Village area of New York City. He had an apartment on the top floor, and we were on the outdoor terrace. Huge view of the city. One night, we were just chilling in the living room and randomly wanted to go outside. I go to the terrace, sit down on the couch out there, and look up the sky. And directly above me was a jellyfish pulsing through the sky. I had a round top and many, many long tentacles. It was exactly as a jellyfish from the ocean had grown up and flown into the sky. It seemed like it was really high up, and if it didn't see it directly above me, I probably wouldn't have noticed it. I didn't take my eyes off it. I yelled for the people inside to come out, and three of us watched this thing pulse across the sky for about 2 minutes. I can't be sure because I was so mesmerized by it. It was hard to be sure of the colors and the size because it was so high up, but we didn't have a range of distance or means of comparison. My friend described it as predator-like. It seemed almost translucent, but it also looked like it was dark gray. Maybe it could have been the night sky behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have been a balloon or something like that. It was moving completely organically, pulsing and swimming like any normal jellyfish. It was moderately fast, too. It traveled in a perfectly straight line, like it knew exactly where it was going. We watched it go across the whole city, getting smaller and smaller until we couldn't see it anymore.
Hmm.
I immediately checked TikTok and Twitter and Instagram, and which was nothing about it. The next day, I checked again. Didn't find anything either. I searched flying jellyfish on Google and couldn't find anything remotely close to what I saw.
Hmm. Interesting. Isn't that crazy, too? I don't know. At least when I was a kid, looking back. If you want anywhere like breaking news or anything, you flip on the TV and go to your local news channel. Now, Facebook, Twitter.
I mean, especially in a city that big, New York in the East Village. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's where you'd expect to find it sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it's in a UFO, too. We wouldn't expect, even if you've seen a UFO in the 90s, you weren't expecting it to be on TV.
No. I mean, but you'd hope, like, maybe on the news, like the news could cover it, but next week would be your best bet. But now you can literally check things in real time just to see if someone's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. I don't know.
Yeah, very classic giant jellyfish.
Yep.
And another thing from what we've talked about in our research with these guys is that the giant jellyfish only seem to appear mostly, I mean, there's a couple exceptions, but mostly in the northern hemisphere, in the northern part. So okay. We're talking Canada, upper United States,
like UK.
Scandinavia. I can't think of any from the UK. I think it's too warm. Northern China, Russia.
I'm trying to think, because I know they're north of us, the UK is.
Yes, but they're warmer than us.
Oh, because the ocean currents and stuff. That's weird, yeah.
Russia, I mean, a lot of them are Russia, Sweden, Norway, a little bit of them in the United States, a lot of them in Canada,
yeah,
and a couple in China,
okay,
northern China.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's directly to do with the cold. Maybe it's whatever gas they're using. Or, like, so, for example, squid, use specifically giant squid, use ammonia as a buoyancy method in their bodies.
Okay.
So if they get stuck on the surface too long, the ammonia warms up and they can't dive.
Oh, gotcha.
So if the ammonia is cold, it's a good buoyancy mechanism with water.
Gotcha.
If it's hot, it's not. So I wonder if there's the gas or something else they're using. If it's kind of the same thing, even if it gets too warm, it's a death sentence.
No good. Yeah. They're stuck.
Plenty of animals are hyper specific for temperature. And a lot of the big animals, you see a lot of big animals with Benjamin's Law get larger the colder it is. Technically, the further away from the equator, but this would be the higher up kind of deal.
Okay.
You know, that they're dealing with colder temperatures, so they get bigger. They get more internal volume to hold on to temperature better because there's a ratio of surface area to volume. That once you get big enough, you start crossing over.
Okay.
So you can get bigger and bigger and not really increase your surface area that much. So it's easier to stay warm.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Like big old whales and
whales, elephants,
manatees.
So they're probably the worst of it. Manatees.
Yeah.
They don't ever leave. They die in the winter because it gets too cold in
Florida. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's no good.
They don't have true blubber or nothing like that.
Poor manatees.
Yeah, manatees, as far as all the marine mammals, are the worst adapted for cold weather.
You know, and we make it worse as far as, you know, they can
running them over.
Huh?
Running them over.
Well, there's that. But, like, you know, you're not allowed to touch them or nothing. You know, they want to hug you, but sometimes, what if they want to be hugged first, you know? They never get that, and we're denying them that.
Well, I think it's because people are horrible to manatees.
No, I know. I'm just joking.
How
do you think they feel? They always are doing the hugging first. You know, maybe they just want one.
Please
first.
Don't run us over.
Yeah. They come in with their arms. And then
that's their only survival technique they have left is just trying to be too cute to get right into extinction.
Being nice and then like you and the coots.
Gosh. I just seen jet ski collisions. A lot of the a lot of the dead manatees they found this year almost all died from internal hemorrhaging.
Oh, man. Jet skis. Oh, man. That's not good. Mm-hmm. We should get some manatees up in Indian Lake.
In Indian Lake. Remember the pig eel? That's what happens when you bring a manatee too far north.
I forget what happened.
I can't remember. It was like season one or two.
The pig eel?
It was in here, so it may have been season three or four, actually.
Shoot. I don't remember.
It was just a manatee that I think was starving to death in a Kentucky lake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if it didn't get so cold, I mean, I think they'd be great to have it up the lake.
Oh, they like the plants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's how they can regulate it. Manatees. Just got to ship them back every winter. Back to Florida.
Just push them down the river.
Hog Creek. Yeah. All right, yes.
I don't know how long they can be in freshwater. I know they can spend a long, long part of their life in freshwater, but I don't know how often they have to return to salt.
I don't know.
Or if they have to.
Let's find out.
Or if they need brackish. I don't know.
Let's do our own experiments.
I got one more from Phantom and Monsters.
Okay.
The big one. And then we're in the U. And then after that, we'll take an ad break, and then we'll go to the UNFORC UFO Sighting Center.
Okay. All right.
I can't remember what it stands for.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out after the break.
So, otherworldly tentacle creature encountered in the southwest Arizona desert.
Okay.
So, I'm not exactly sure if this one classifies as a living UFO, but it wasn't neat enough to add.
Okay.
Two brothers were camping in the south Arizona desert at night when they noticed a large, bizarre-looking mass slowly creeping towards them. Why I added this one is it when I was reading it. You remember Robin?
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of her story that she had with her sister.
Okay.
That it was kind of hovering.
Yep.
But it was on the ground still coming at them.
And she was in like, was she in the bed of her truck or something?
Her and her sister were sitting outside. I think they were in a truck.
Yeah.
And she may have been in Arizona.
I believe she was in Arizona.
So here's how the email goes. First, I don't have all the details. They're obviously a great story, bigger picture, only a glimpse of it. Experience it lasted for only a few short minutes, but the event consulting maybe 45 seconds. But I can't explain what happened in that 45 seconds. Can't wrap my head around it or recollect it with all the natural wonders and the life on this planet. Specifically and potentially the life development when not checked by some several or ever-present environmental stressor or predator. A few years ago, I got a call from my brother in Arizona asking if I wanted to visit, do a little hiking, eat some Mexican restaurants he thought I'd like, etc. He got a big bonus at work and wanted to spend it on some brotherly time. I had a few vacation days saved up from work, so I agreed and took the necessary time off. Nothing of interest happened on the way there. We met without any issue. He showed me around Phoenix, Tampa, and Chandler, treated me to some food. 2 days went by. We branched out to explore the state, visiting Shannon and some other areas. I was set to leave on the 3rd when he suggested we end the stay with staying outside somewhere outside. Nice. We'd already done some hiking, but we wanted to do another outdoorsy thing since he knew I wouldn't be able to once I went back home where the weather was snowy and rainy. We found a decent place to camp in the southern Arizona, somewhere near the border, not far off from where we hiked the day before. With Arizona being a desert, there's plenty of land and open space for us to spread our stuff out and relax. The drive there, which lasted a couple hours, gave us time to chat and listen to a few bands we enjoy. We brought up the usual camping supplies, tents, food, water, flashlight, flares, radio, etc. It was just a one day and an evening and a night, really, so we only brought the basics and the cheapest essentials. His truck was parked about half a mile away from the campsite to preserve the camping atmosphere, whilst keeping it at a reasonably accessible distance. We spent most of the evening just talking, catching up with anything that we hadn't covered in the first 2 days, eating leftover food we'd saved from the past restaurant dinners. With no one else out there that we could see, the nearest road was about 2 miles that we had to park the car. It was mostly flat desert in every direction, a cozy desolation. I can't say that word.
Desolate?
Yeah, but the other like adverb of it.
Desolation?
There you go.
I don't know.
Around 10 p.m., after we'd finished our dinner and gathering up trash, we both saw something off to the north, about half a mile from camp. You imagine? It's late at night, and you can see something. It's flat, so you can just see something coming at you from half a mile away.
And then your truck's a mile and a half. A half a mile away from you as well.
It was a mound in the desert, but one that moved, seeming to inch towards us every few seconds. Not constantly, but a steady lurches, as if its energy or efforts in each motion it needed to muster to keep moving. So it looks like, before we continue, it looks like the thing's struggling.
Yeah.
Like it's not moving cleanly or smoothly. It's lurching towards them and been having to take breaks.
Lurching, that's never a good word.
The mound was the same color as the sand, but even from the distance we had initially spotted it, we could tell that it wasn't made up of sand. The surface, while sand color, was almost fuzzy-like, in a way that made me highly uncomfortable to look at for more than a few seconds. I remember turning to my brother and seeing him wince and rub his eyes for a few seconds. Mm. I had the urge to do the same thing. For whatever reason, the mixture of awe and fear, maybe, but we stayed put. We didn't move until the thing was only a few yards away. At this distance, the size of the thing finally registered to me. It was absolutely huge. An immense body that was towering over us. I'm sure the sheer flatness of the area made it seem larger than it really was, but sitting before us, looking up at the uncanny fuzziness, gave me the impression of the enormousness of it. I've spoken with my brother several times since then, and each time we try to recall and describe the thing, we come up with a new kind of depiction. Not necessarily new details, but maybe new forms, new structures to it. We generally tend to settle on admittedly odd description of it being like a huge and dry washcloth. That had been set out, used, and left for quite some time. Scaled well beyond usability. In haphazardly shape. Not necessarily formless, but spread out. As if it was hard holding its shape in. What?
It just reminds me of something I had.
It almost reminds me an egg with the yolk. Where the center of its body is still being held up.
Okay.
But the outer edges, the white of the yolk is like running out and it's having trouble holding that parts in.
Okay.
So that's causing this kind of lump, like spread out look. Like it's trying to hold itself together.
Gotcha.
But it's having trouble, obviously. I got to find where I was now. Scaled up. Another description I offered was a hideous blossoming flower. So that's more like Jean Jacket from Nope.
Gotcha.
When it's unfolded.
Hideous blossoming flower.
Yeah. With ugly petals unfurling, some larger than others, but without any uniform center. There was no eyes, no feelers, antenna, or identifying sensing organs. Only a mass ever mobile body, like a giant amoeba. If given the means, the easiest way I could replicate it was an overall structure would be to take a ball of light brown clay or dough, pull at it every direction, and insert a tiny, almost microscopic pins all over the surface. Thousands of them.
Like cilia.
Yeah. Like a giant, supersized amoeba.
Mm-hmm.
Then somehow make those pins vibrate and given the dough itself a sort of buzzingness, almost like breath-like animations.
So it wasn't fuzzy. It was more like a... Not fuzzy, but just...
But no, like you said, cilia. It's almost...
Cilia, like hair-like movie, yes. Moving...
But, it, you know, from a distance, it looked fuzzy and then, yeah. Until it's, like, up to
on
them.
You, yeah.
And they're like, that's not fuzzy.
So you're rubbing noses with it. That's what they say.
Yeah. I know it sounds ridiculous, but honestly, it's the clearest idea I can give of it. The best reproduction of, you know, how this thing idled. We stared at it without speaking, both of us feeling more and more than just basic fear. When it got really uncomfortably close, I felt sick. Not queasy or nauseous, but more like delirious.
Do you think that's just anxiety or panic?
Now, it could be, but hold on to it. As if close proximity was causing some sort of sudden neurological issues I was having. While I didn't recognize it at the time, looking back now, I'm almost certain that my mind had simply been unable or unwilling to fully gasp at what I was, you know, what the thing's appearance was.
Right.
It was so unusual, so unpredictable in its movements, my brain just couldn't recognize it. One of the parts, I don't know, he says, tentacles, tendrils, general appendage, all feel wily and accurate, drifted by me in what could have been missed attempt at contact with me. So the thing has tentacles now that he realizes.
Okay.
And one came at him, but missed him. So was it trying to hit him, or is it just moving around its environment?
Right.
These guys are just in the way.
Yeah.
So drifted by me. Could have been a missed attempt, or simply another motion of self, you know, propulsion. I felt the space around me shift, getting pulled awake from the part of it. I was suddenly aware, acutely, immensely aware of the space I occupied, somehow becoming highly sensitive to the particles or whatever, and noticed palpably how the stuff of the space had been drawn away from me. The phenomena, whatever you want to call it, scared me more than the sight of the creature itself. So it's like he's feeling almost like a vacuum or weirdness in the air around him.
Okay.
So what?
And that frightened him more than...
Yeah, because he's realizing that there's something touched. Now he's in something.
Gotcha.
And the creature's, you know, feet in front of him, but the air isn't really air anymore.
Gotcha.
Which seems like...
But being inside an amoeba?
In a living cloud.
Okay.
Remember, we talked about that people that have been through the living clouds talk about it. It didn't feel right, you know?
Like a cat's
tongue. It feels like the air is super heavy or wet.
Yeah.
But yeah, the revelation that somehow, you know, subtract or brush aside the elements, the essentially of the air was absolutely terrifying. So like it had, whatever it's producing is pushing the air out. Where was I? I had heard my brother utter and quickly settle to a cry, turned towards him just in time to see the passage of another part of its head or over his head. This one was much larger than the one that had swept by me. So another tentacle is coming out.
Come flying around him.
The thing was all over us now, and I expected to find teeth or a gasping maul somewhere, something like that beneath it. I think at this time, I was mentally, you know, associated the appendages with that of an octopus or a starfish, some multi-legged, watering inhabitant creature. But having thought about it a lot, I am comfortably with saying that neither the close enough to it, you know, a worthy comparison. Other anomalies were too ordered, but it just moved in the same breath to it, more like it was pulsing, buzzing, and pricking flesh, which was so disconcerting to look at. Since it hadn't tried to eat or attack us, I got the idea maybe it couldn't see or really sense us at all. So I turned to my brother and mouthed, "Don't move." He didn't nod or mouth anything back, but it was obvious that he had already decided to stay still in sheer terror. We had our disagreements about the exact amount of time we spent beneath the thing. So now the thing has crawled over top of them.
Gotcha.
It's pulling itself along the ground and they're in the way. But we agreed that the time passage took between 20 and 45 seconds. It felt obviously much longer, maybe because I was so hyper aware of it and the bizarreness of relation to myself. I think my brother had been numbered to his perception of the time of the thing passing over us. It was obvious that it affected us differently. I didn't turn around immediately. actually waited several minutes before turning to my brother. When I did, I saw him breathing slowly, rhythmically, obviously trying to calm himself down. On the other hand, I was weirdly relaxed, at least the immediate physical sense. Terrified, sure, but I was so thoroughly scared by the thing's overwhelming and unpredictable nature in my mind essentially said, the heck with it, and put the kind of blissful, you know, ecstatic, you know, state. Like, why even worry? Why waste the effort of being hysterical when something's roaming around you like that? Why run? You'll just die trying, etc. When we finally turned around, there was nothing to see. Just the same flat desert we had grazed upon the day before. I saw the truck, just as where we had parked it. The only sizable thing in sight for miles. The sand before and behind was disturbed as if a giant, inordinarily large thing had rolled, slash crawled, or swept all actions at once. Where there was no droppings, no slime, nothing to, you know, specifically of that area. At least to the, you know, tends to the creature's presence. We actually spent the rest of the night out there speaking to one another about some, you know, needing something, a bottle of water, a bag of jerky. We bought a radio, but neither of us bothered to use it. I had my headphones, but I didn't take them out, or my phone or anything. Having just witnessed something so profoundly weird, there wasn't anything on the internet that could amuse, entertain, or intrigue me right now. We both for hours sat in silence. I remember sleeping, but I couldn't tell you if I dreamed. My brother never mentioned dreaming on that night either. In the morning, we packed up our things, quickly walked back to the truck, and drove back to the house. We had our farewell breakfast at a diner not too far from the airport, and I flew back home. We didn't discuss this experience for almost a year. We needed time to process our thoughts. It wasn't like seeing a wild animal or a car crash or a building collapse or anything worldly, mundane. There was elements of it that were unreal to us. Something beyond the natural order of Earth or any man's creations. But at the same time, it had seemed so comfortable in our world. So relaxed and assured in its place in the planet of insects, wolves, starfish, and humans. I don't know what I saw. But I do know that's probably the last time I'll ever visit Arizona.
It's funny that they mentioned it being similar to like some water creature, like a starfish or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're in Arizona, like the desert.
So it passed over them. So why I put this in here is it seemed to not be tied to the ground.
Right, yeah.
Because they were even though it was floating along the ground and it was lunging and lurching and moving slow.
Even left a trail. Like a
physical trail,
a physical
but no
impression.
But yeah, no slime or nothing.
No,
like
nothing
that.
Like that.
But it went over them. It just kind of crawled over top of them.
Yeah.
Like they were just in the way.
Hmm.
It wasn't looking for them or coming for them.
Yeah, but the odds of it going right at them and over them seems like, not that it was looking for them, but sensed them there. It's like, just checked them out.
Like the guy said, it may have been looking for their food, scraps.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about the giant amoebas, and that seems to be like they're carnivores. They're, you know, the scrap, you know, the
meaning
scrap eaters.
They're eating roadkill.
Roadkill, waste.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. So the cooking food or something like that, you know, these things probably can't handle attacking and eating, first off, an animal, let alone a human.
Yeah.
The way they're describing it, they probably could have ripped through the thing like paper.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys are most likely giant scavengers. And this one may have not even been scavenging. It may have been injured.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was attracted to the light of the fire.
Yeah.
Since it was the only light source late at night. And then it was touching them and realized that it's, you know, it wasn't one of its kind or.
And then they said they turned around and it was gone?
Yeah.
Hmm.
They don't know how long it was. I'm thinking it went flat again.
Went flat again.
So, like, they were saying that it was, like it was struggling. It was holding. It looked like a giant mound.
Right, yeah.
Because it was holding itself up. I think maybe when it crawled over them, it just kind of went flat.
Okay.
So, they're looking for, like we talked about with Bigfoot, they're looking for this giant mound
creature.
That's
up, yeah.
And it's now, it's, you know, 4 foot tall, not 18 or whatever.
Could have dissolved right into the desert.
So, it actually reminds me, in the book, the ones where the police caught the disc. I remember the disc flew into like a telephone pole. The cops are picking it up and it dissolves into pink jelly.
I can't remember.
But they described it as being solid but airy. And the only thing I could compare it now is like the aerogel.
Okay.
Where they could feel it was something, but it was so light.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing, you know, being so tall and massive, it still crawled over them with ease.
Yeah. Well, very, almost too much ease.
They felt its touch.
Yeah. I wonder if, too, if it, like, put out, like, a, like, if it has, like, a physical central body, like the amoeba, but then it's surrounding it, and, you know, its immediate space, it's like a gaseous, like, its own, like, atmosphere.
So I want, like, the living clouds. We talk about that. Maybe that it's producing its own cloud cover.
Something like
that. But that was that air they felt.
What if it can control it, too? Like, kind of redirect it and, you know, encase things in it, like a starfish's stomach. You know, how they stick it, and they throw it out and encase and then dissolve and bring it in.
Well, like the living fogs, that's kind of how they work.
Right.
They just run into food.
And then spit up your bones.
And that was, there's only a couple of them that are that dramatic.
Right, yeah.
Most of them are just like.
But it's that time of year, right, for the dramatic Halloween spooky stuff.
But no, I think they counted maybe the same thing. It almost sounds like what Robin was explaining too. She described it as a giant mound, but she's seen it in more detail of it look like folds on top of folds on top of folds.
What if this is like a different, like the in a form before it gets airborne? I don't know.
It could be. I mean, they could just come down and scavenge in the deserts at night.
Mm-hmm.
They're just looking for kill or, you know, anything. They're just scavenging. They're just hovering over and looking for food, just dragging themselves along.
Until they find it.
And then, you know, and then when it's daylight, they go back up so they don't, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. What if they run off the sun power and they need the sun to, like, fly to get up?
But it's just remarkable how similar it is to robins for me.
Yeah, and both being in Arizona, that's pretty wild.
That hardness to describe something.
Yeah.
You're seeing Eldridge or, you know, Lovecraftian.
Just a, translucent blob. Like, yeah, explain
well,
they, that.
Theirs wasn't trans. Well, theirs was sand-colored.
Sand colored, you're right.
But they had parts of it that were translucent or invisible.
What if they're, it was just picking up the sand?
That could be, like, it just stuck to it.
Basically, so it's...
Yeah, that's why it looks sand colored, because it's covered in sand.
Because it's, yeah, exactly.
Or it could be,
sand colored.
You know, like an octopus or whatever. I'm going to be sand colored, so I don't stand out.
Chromatophores?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
For octopus, yes. Octopus and, like chameleons.
Oh, and chameleons.
It's chromatophores, where it's a muscle that's attached to a pigment cell that stretches.
Because
there are actually only one. Well, I think octopus and squid have three different colored ones, but chameleons only have like one or two.
Oh.
But they can make all the colors by stretching and compressing.
Oh, wow. Science. Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. But so is it just camouflage, or like maybe it's filtering it? Like it's just picking up the sand, you know, moving it across its body, picking out what it wants to eat, and, you know, spitting the sand out behind it.
Trying to eat the bugs in the sand or whatever.
Bugs, detritus. I mean, I'm talking.
Oh, detritus.
For a giant amoeba.
Yeah.
It's probably eating very, very small particles that it can just easily absorb.
Right. And if there's food there, something's eating them.
So I wonder if it's, they were just wrong place, wrong time, or right place, right time. And it,
right.
So it had its, you know, sensory tentacles out and be like, what is this?
Like patting their heads, like rubbing their backs. Like, what is this?
So he didn't think it touched him. And I kind of wonder if it did.
Hmm.
And we've talked about the other thing with the uneasiness or the weird nausea he felt. Yep. It may be toxic. It may have a mild neurotoxin it's putting out in the air. And we've talked about that with some of the other ones, the other living UFOs, that people get weird when you get too close to them.
Yeah. I could see it that way.
And it's just a defense mechanism. It's not, you know, a hardcore toxin, but it's
just enough
to make you not want to be around it.
I could see it that way, but I could also see it just as easily being like something so overwhelming.
Sure. That your brain is just like...
Your brain and your body makes you sick, nauseous.
Another thing is if it is producing its own gas, it could just be that lack of oxygen is making you feel nuts.
I've done that before, you know.
Where it's literally pushing out the atmosphere around it.
You ever experienced a horrible Dutch oven? Same thing. It drives you mad.
All right. So why didn't you go ahead, tell us about the junior anglers, and tell us about...
Future anglers of Indian Lake.
Yeah.
You know, future anglers of Indian Lake, find their... they have a group on Facebook, isn't is that where...
Yeah.
We can...
Yeah. Go. The link's for Facebook.
Yeah, find their link, their Facebook groups, and get involved. What they do is they provide a bunch of fishing, like just equipment, whether it's, you know, poles and nets and the essentials, hooks and tackle, the essential for, you know, the kids to get out there and get a pole in the water and start fishing. You know, it's a good thing to get kids outside, get them outdoors, and, you know, teach a man to fish. He'll eat for a lifetime. You know, is that how the saying goes? Something like that. You know, and this, why not start early? Why not start when your kids, get them out there, get them passionate, and future anglers of any lake are really putting in the work. It's a great group, great organization doing this for the kids, for the youth. So we're proud to support them and yeah, go out there and support them as well.
And
Flavors of the Forest. Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath. You know, you've heard us talk about it for almost a couple years now, and they're still our number one sponsor of the show. Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath. It is the number one garlic product on the market. Now, you go to flavorsforest.com/corn to get our discount code. Get you a bottle. It'll help us, and it helps them, and it helps everything keep moving. But importantly, you know, Christmas is coming up, and it makes a great stocking stuffer. It's a guaranteed, and any garlic fan in your life is going to love this product. It is, like I said, the number one. I stand by it. I swear by it. It's the best garlic product you can put in your food, on your food, around your food. Just even open up and smell it when you take a bite of something. And it fills your brain, your mouth, your nose, everything with just flavor, garlic flavor. It's delicious. It's good stuff. It's freeze-dried, you know, 100% organic. So healthy, good for you. No chemicals, no processing, none of that crap. So it's good quality food for you. And, you know, goes a long way. Again, Christmas is coming up. It's a great stocking stuffer. And you know, help yourself. Make your food taste a little bit better with Flavors of the Forest.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
And we're back. Are you excited?
Or?
Just more living UFO stuff.
Another one. Well, we've got manta rays. We've got jellyfish. We've got potential amoeba.
Amorphous blobs or living clouds.
Yeah, siphonophores perhaps even, maybe. We didn't even touch on that before
desert
the break.
Desert cyanophore.
Yeah, it's just a desert land cyanophore that, yeah, that's it. Hmm.
We're going to go to the NUFORC UFO sightings page.
NUFORC, New Fork?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
Which, anyway, you can look up all these. I have the case numbers. I don't care. If anybody cares for them, I can give them to you. These are generally a lot shorter, kind of styled, where it's one or two paragraphs at the most. These guys are, so they're a lot quicker.
Okay.
But let's see. This happened the 16th of October of 2025.
Ooh, okay.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, like just happened.
Columbus, Kansas.
Okay.
Which, you remember our first
UFO sighting reported to
manta ray.
Our manta ray sighting, yes. Organic UFO. Any sort of report from any listener came from Kansas.
Mm-hmm. And it was seen flying through the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It was, so they don't really have a good way of classifying living UFOs or organic UFOs in their tendencies yet. So if anybody wants to use their website and kind of look for these kind of things, changing or unidentified is the two categories I really look into. So this is they categorize it by shape.
Changing, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So that's wild.
Moving is what I get out of it for this specific one.
That, but I also remember we covered it very briefly, but when I covered that article that the U.S. government has, what is it? Technology, shape-changing technology airplanes.
Oh, there's plenty of them that are weird.
Yes.
I'm talking about to look up for organic UFOs.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, yes.
That these are the two kind of categories to look for.
Well, I guess I'm only bringing that up just so, you know, some of this, you know, we believe in organic UFOs, mm-hmm. not being the full spectrum of what UFOs are, but just a small little sliver. But even in the organic UFO area, our U.S. government military is recreating organic shapes and movements, and shape-shifting airplanes. It's real. It's real, people.
All right. So the eyewitness says, skin color, like, I think they're trying to spell cucumber.
Okay.
Or Caucasian. I'm not sure. It's like I spelled it.
Well, let me look really. Just
it's just C-A-U-C.
Okay.
It's cut off.
Oh, okay.
It was viewed from land about the size of a human body, they say. Slightly south, going west. She's seen it about 50 yards away, going about 30 miles an hour. Says, it looked like a wing of something, but just covered, or just covered a wing, or wing covered in skin.
Ew.
So it just looked like a wing ripped off of something.
Like a bird wing, like an airplane wing, like a chicken wing.
Well, you'll hear, but at first she's just saying it just looks like a wing. Like the whole animal looks like one wing.
Yeah.
I was so depressed, so I went outside and laid on the ground in my front yard the second time I've seen this, but it was flying slightly south going west. I see drone jets flying over, and it was going west. So it had the, or so they had to see it as well. I literally see something answer my thoughts or aspirations every time I'm down or out. But we should care like of these things like they're an endangered species. I believe they are like to awaken people who are lost.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
that's deep.
Yeah.
What, snap you out of the...
That's it. So that's all I have for this one.
They're there to
snap... They're a lot shorter.
They're there to snap you out of the hypnotizing gaze of the Matrix.
But yeah, so this one's about the size of a, you know, person.
But it's skin-colored wing.
Skin-covered wing.
Skin
covered.
Covered. Well, I mean, if it's skin-covered, it has to be a skin-colored too, right, I guess?
I don't know.
Skin comes in all sorts of colors, so I'm sure it fell under one of those.
This next one was the Makai province of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that last one, I still don't know. You said it would fall under the unidentified, or... That's a weird one.
Yeah, so all these are under changing.
That one's not in the book.
I think it's under... No, so this one's shape is unknown.
Okay.
He gives the actual building he's seen it in. Jihad al-Wurluk Building 77, Saudi Arabia, outside the second floor window.
Wow.
So he estimates that it's 3 to 4 foot wingspan and about a length of 5 feet. Direction heading north. High is the building, 3/4 kilometer. 30 kilometers per hour. I was calling my cousin to look outside my window till I saw something weird, some weird creature flying by that had a spiky, bony tail. It flew past the window on the second floor of the apartment with a spiky, bony tail, probably about 3 to 4 foot wingspan. But not reasonable any flying species. It didn't, or kind of look like an Archaeoraptorix, which is a little gliding dinosaur.
Okay.
But it flew like the wing of a bat or a pterosaur. So it had like a membranous wing. Its head kind of looked like an Archaeoraptorix. That's all, is what he says. But the picture he drew, doesn't have any legs. It has almost like a scorpion tail without a stinger, giant manta ray wings, and this weird little head.
So it just sounds like one of our typical manta rays, but with a head.
Yeah, so it could be a living dinosaur. I don't know. It just was in here.
I wonder what if it could be just one of the small, you know, those manta rays when they're juvenile or getting...
Could have been carrying something.
Yeah.
Eating a monkey.
Carrying something in his mouth.
Are there monkeys in Saudi Arabia? Probably not.
Yeah.
Eating a kid.
I mean, that's possible, yeah. That'd be horrible, but... That's possible. I don't know. But it sounds, I mean, it's fitting that shape. If I had to pick one, that's what I would fall it under.
Like I said, these are a lot shorter.
Yeah, a little bit. Like growing rapid fire.
Ranash Bahir, India is the next place. Shape is unknown. Oh, gosh. This is the metric.
The metric.
So, switching from metric to imperial.
Oh, okay.
Because this person is doing both. So it's just bugging my brain. Silent, low-flying, cloud-like object seen that night in Bahir Village, moving fast northeast, meteor sighted in the days before the same area. I was alone in the cultivated field in my village at night when I saw a strange UFO-like thing in the sky. It was a fast-moving cloud or a misty disc shape thing. It was moving at a steady speed, approximately 10 to 20 meters per second, silently in the straight line to the northeast. There was no engine sound, no blinking lights. The motion was so smooth, and it was very, very fast for a natural cloud. A few days before this, we also had some meteors fall from the sky in this region. I'm reporting this because it felt very different from anything I had seen in the sky before. Hmm. So, like, solid, like we described earlier, like that solid gas.
Yeah.
Like that aerogel or whatever it's called.
Like a full-on opaque cloud.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
A cumulus cloud, per se.
Any thoughts?
Well, these stories, I mean, they don't give as much, I guess, detail or room for thought as other than just like, well, yeah, this that was pretty cool. But I don't know. I mean, it reminds me of Christina's, Joel and Christina's.
Oh, yeah. The cloud that was beat up by a tornado.
Yeah, something similar like that. And Saudi Arabia, I do wonder, you know, because we don't get nearly any information out of any other country in the world besides our own.
And
the only information we get is what happens to come out and what happens to catch the eye of, I guess, U.S. media, and then who happens to share it there, and then you just happen to come across it.
I know nothing about Saudi Arabia.
Me either. And who knows what kind of
like I didn't know there was cultivated fields.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's not all just desert. Like people still live there, like we do, but it's most of the world's the same all the way around. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, we got our different biomes or different regions, but 90% of it, people are growing stuff on it and living there and hunting there. Like, that's just the way it goes, unless you live in a hellscape city, a concrete jungle.
All right. Next one is in Franklin, Indiana.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, the shape was unknown. Observed an anomalous shape-shifting, somewhat transparent object overhead in clear daylight conditions. It was early evening on Saturday, July 19th of 2025, approximately 8 p.m., maybe a little bit earlier. I was walking for the detached garage after retrieving a bottle of water from the garage refrigerator through the gate of our fenced-in backyard. Conditions were clear, slight breeze, few scattered clouds, and the day of on-and-off rain. I was looking up, facing northeast, because a vulture was soaring above, really high, and I enjoy watching them. I observed the object in the sky above. At first glance, it appeared to be a clear plastic bag. And then I wondered if it was a very tiny cloud. But watching it, I realized it didn't behave like either of those things. It was not tossed around in the breeze. Instead, it kept a consistent altitude and trajectory, moving swiftly and steadily northeast. It didn't have any particular shape, though, but it kept morphing as it moved and exhibited an aura or like a halo effect around it.
Mm.
I stared at it until it flew back into a cloud bank. I continued to watch. It never came out to the other side. There was a definite gut feeling associated with watching this anomaly, but it was not anything I could identify. It did not resemble no known object nor creature, but yet it was moving purposely and intelligently. This is not my first sighting or experience. I had a far more dramatic encounter. And she gives the report of a car-sized drone on Christmas Eve. I know it sounds, I'm a college grad. I'm a mom of two adult sons. Ran my own small business of arts. Recent part-time position in county tourism department. I have a good grasp of reality. I'm not suffering from any mental illness. I don't drink. I am creative, but I'm not a fabricator. I consider myself a normal garden variety human. Just saying.
Mm.
But yeah, so she put a picture of it, and I'll try to remember to post the pictures with it. It looks kind of like a jellyfish really high up.
Okay.
Not a lot of detail or anything like that, but you can kind of see the dome and something hanging off, but it changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of that one news clipping where they're like, oh, it's a giant hunk of plastic, and then it's like jellyfish shaped, and then it's long.
Does she say anything about it? Like, does it look like it's glowing or anything?
That's what I'm assuming the aura she's talking about.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So this actually, I just seen this last night, I think.
Maybe. This story?
No. It's making me think of something that I just seen last night or the night before. It was this guy talking about, I don't know if he worked in the CIA or with the CIA or some intelligence community, and he was given this interview, but he was talking about how, like with Project Bluebeam and orbs, like you see flying through the sky and things like that. 'Cause that's what this kind of makes me think of, like almost an orb sighting. And what he explained, he was saying that they're all tricks and deceptions. But what he was explaining how it works is that the orb you're seeing, it's actually direct energy weapons on the ground. And there'll be like two of them. And they both pinpoint a certain spot in the atmosphere where they both, their beams, let's just say that, like, let's just say they're shooting laser beams in the sky. And where those two beams cross, it creates a high energy area and it excites the electrons and particles in the atmosphere, causing them to physically glow. And then they can control this by having these two beams in coordination, creating flight paths and intelligent movement. And not only can you see this with the physical eye, it shows up on radar too as an actual object. So they can move these things in formation like they're actual objects or planes. Yeah. And to even fool enemy radar detection to where they're like, let's just say you have a fleet of this on one side of the country, making it appear that we're getting ready to invade. And the moment, so they get all their forces and stuff ready to defend. And the moment they're about ready to get there, it's disappears. There's just nothing at all. So you have your whole military on one side,
ready to fight.
And then we can come in right behind them and cause a lot of damage. But that's what he was saying. You know, I don't take it with what you will, but it makes a little bit of, it makes sense to me. And I'd never heard it before, anything of the sort. And he wouldn't say who is behind it, because they said, well, is this Navy? Is this U.S. military? And he just like nodded and he said, well, he said someone within the government, like it's an entity within the government, and I'm just going to leave it at that is what he said. So I don't know, but it does make a lot of sense, though, if they do have technology to do this with a lot of, like, maybe what she's seeing, having, she said, intelligent, like, flight, like it moved with purpose, or something of the sort, but it moved intelligently. It wasn't just something like a bag floating around the air. I don't know. I wonder if some of these orbs or, you know, the ball lightning, quote unquote, we're seeing, or this, the, like the orbs we see flying through the sky that we even see picked up on camera, and even like military, like radar can track it. They can lock onto it and even track it, which is crazy because it's such high energy. It's giving, and it's exciting the particles in the atmosphere so much. It's giving off our technology as an actual object being there. And the kicker on top of it is you can see it with your naked eye. It glows, so you see it with your naked, you physically can see it. But there's nothing there. That's the crazy part. It's nothing.
My last one is from Hilliard, Ohio.
Ooh, that's right down the road.
Where I used to work out of.
Yeah.
I worked out of Hilliard for 4 years. Yeah. There was a changing is the shape, color, land, all that. Pulsating, color-changing anomaly that looked like two giant worms dancing.
Ooh.
Around 5 a.m., I was out my window looking because I do not sleep well. I observed Jupiter and Orion and other constellations like Taurus. Just left of Orion, I noticed what at first appeared to be an airplane because I saw flashing, pulsating lights. However, it was not moving, so I eliminated that possibility. To the naked eye, it appeared to be pulsing various colors. So I thought it could be possibly a star, but a pulsing and color changing were very noticeable. A lot more noticeable than a glimmering star that I've seen. So I set up my telescope and looked at closer and saw two very, very bright, very sharp shapes. Color pulsing tendrils. They were slithering in S movements. They almost looked like two bolts of lightning, shaking and pulsing and whipping around. Their shapes kept changing frequently, but at one point they formed a sideways Y shape. Other times they formed triangle shapes. They kept running back into each other. At another point, the thing was completely morphed into what I can only describe as the tendrils of like a palm tree blowing in the wind. In the instance, there was more than two of these tendrils. There were several. I checked several times to be sure my telescope was in focus, and it was. The tendrils lined up sharp and not blurry at all. The things clearly moved, seemingly at speeds around the other stars and planets that I observed for approximately 30 minutes. I lost behind a building close to the horizon.
Hmm.
So at least two, maybe more, of these giant worm or tendril-shaped things that are pulsing colors.
Is it
changing?
Is it nighttime?
Yeah, it's 5 a.m.
Okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
running into each other, all that kind of stuff. Now, remember the videos and stories, they're in the book, the worms.
Yeah.
The sky worms, where they are, they do this. In air, I think it was Texas. That couple has like a 15-minute video of two worms changing colors, chasing each other in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And not Saudi Arabia, Dubai, the airport there, remember?
It was Dubai or India?
Either one, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was somewhere over there.
Where they had the airport constantly has these things by it.
Yep. I think it might have been India, I think. I don't know. You might be right, though, Dubai. I can't remember. But
I thought it was the Dubai airport, but it could be India.
I remember it was an airport somewhere over there.
United States of Emirates.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's the United Arab Emirates. United Arab Emirates. I don't know. It's UAE. I think. I don't know. But, yeah, that's where Dubai is. I also think of, too, that video, that underwater video of that comb jelly.
Mm-hmm. Very reminiscent of that.
Because those, if you're listening to our show and you haven't seen that video yet, just Google search like cone jelly.
Comb
jelly. Yeah, I always say cone. Comb jelly.
There are cone jellies.
Yeah.
But you're referencing a comb jelly with a B.
So they're like all black and they literally have two LED light strips running down their sides that do like crazy just LED patterns, like light show patterns. If you can't see the body and you just see those light strips, it could see like two worm like.
Even firefly squid.
Yeah.
They just have the glowing stuff on their tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
And they whip them around and do all kinds of
crazy stuff. Yeah.
So it could look like you're saying, it looks like two tendrils or worms that are battling it out there making shapes.
When it's just.
There's a giant body behind it. It's not lighting up.
Yeah. That's what I kind of pictured too.
Yeah. Breeding display, mating, threat display, intimidation display. There's a lot of glowing animals that. They glow as a part of their intimidation display.
And rear up and look all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that cone jelly we did in that video, when it first comes in the camera, it looks like a weird drone, UFO, weird, and then it shapeshifts. It looks like a shape-shifting, but it's just moving its body around. It's just what it does. And like I said, it shapeshifts and has LEDs, like light strips on its side. Like that's, and you know, growing up, that shouldn't be possible. That shouldn't be a living creature, but it is. It's just a normal living creature. We have them on film. It's just under the water.
There's some of them in aquariums.
Yeah, they're normal things, but they look so inorganic. That's the crazy part. They look like technology, and they're not. So, you know, you look into the sky, and you see stuff that may look like, and this is just an overview of organic UFOs in general. You see objects that look like technology, so you assume it has to be technology. Well, the comb jelly is the perfect example. It does not have to be technology. Nature in itself is more amazing than we can even put limits on, nature can create things that even our technology is limited in doing. So everything is possible in nature. If there's a will, there's a way. Life finds a way.
Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. We haven't done one in a while.
Yeah,
I just wanted to share some stories that I'd found.
It's been a while. I enjoyed it.
I like talking about it.
We got it. There's a lot of different organic creatures that potentially could be living in our atmosphere. NASA did that study. If you listen to our episode back in 2019 about every single clade of life that's a non-vertebrate lives in our atmosphere.
You mean we weren't a podcast in 2019?
No, the study was in 2019.
Oh.
The NASA study was in 2019.
I was like, we weren't a podcast in 2019.
No, I know. But that's when they
go back and listen to that episode.
Yes, go back and listen to that
episode. You find it, you tell me.
Yes, there you go. But, yeah?
All right. I have been the Great and Powerful Mr. E.
And I've been J-Clone 28.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye!
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribbins the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.